Hi guys, I'm Kirsten Sandifer. Welcome to another episode of Psychic Babes. Today is going to be an awesome one. We have Jeff, who is a friend of mine from Reddit on the thread of dimension jumping. For those of you that know me, know that I've been wanting to do one like this for a while because I'm very passionate about this one. So I'll let Jeff jump in, tell you a little bit about himself and how we kind of got to know each other and get on this topic.
Hey there. So I've been participating in dimension jumping for about 4 years now or so, maybe close to five. I have a background in engineering, heavy into physics and mathematics. Is my audio working?
It appears to be, yeah.
Okay, my monitor shows nothing. I see. This is new. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I'm not super tech savvy with a lot of things because I'm more or less trapped in a singularity where technology is from the 1980s or so. I've adapted myself to a lot of the new stuff, but no, most of this is just exaggeration of mundane stuff. So I'm just kind of like your average extra dimensional jumper at this point.
Explain what you mean by singularity, because I don't want a lot of people to get confused going, what's that mean?
Well, the singularity encompasses many things. Mm-hmm. In the context I used it, it would be the black hole of work. My corporate position is it's like I'm in one of the top 40 companies in the entire world right now, and I mean, it's very trying times in many ways, but the system is so profoundly backwards from a societal standpoint. It's like kind of a Stone Age society within society. And we're, accustomed to micro societies, but this one really takes the cake or whatever. It's so backwards. I love it, but yeah.
Now, to kind of explain to our listeners who have never done this before and don't know what dimension jumping is, can you give me your definition on it?
Dimension jumping is the ability to mentally flex one's thoughts to, I don't want to say transport or teleport, but move an individual into a new facet of the multidimensional reality that we exist within.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I think of it too, the multiverse theory. And basically the same you exists in every other dimension, every facet of you and every version exists in a different dimension. So it's basically being able to, transport yourself there, but you're not really transporting yourself. I guess what would be the best way to describe it? You're just kind of shifting things a little bit. Like the you in this dimension doesn't just go on as a cyborg. It's,
Well, kind of, yes. I like to think of it as a slow-moving movie or whatever, where you get to control the frames that pass by.
I like that.
It's like, well, how fast can you do it? Well, unfortunately, we have certain speed limits, but I don't really know the full details on that, and we can discuss that later, but it's not instantaneous. Most people have to understand that. It's small changes to get to the end goal.
What was your first experience with dimension jumping, and how did you come across the idea of it?
I don't really remember the first time because it can get pretty deep, and I mean, the first major fracture of my timeline was probably back when I was, I don't remember. It must have been five or six, but
wow.
I was making a costume for Halloween, and I was accidentally cutting in the wrong direction, knife slipped, and I got my hand. So anyway, my dad takes care of the wound, and everything's fine, more or less. So, first major instance of a serious wound. It almost hit a critical artery. I could have died, but I didn't. But to compound the situation and make it even worse, my mom saw the wound and totally didn't understand what was going on. So she freaked out, and she'd already been prone to trying to kill me and my dad at this point, but this was kind of like the worst instance thereof. So she kind of like cornered us in one of the back rooms, and you know, we hid there until the police arrived. And there's a lot of instances where it could have played out that she could have killed us. So that's, you know, X percent probability of, you know, my timelines collapsing in total or whatever. But here I am still. So
yeah, my first experience was kind of the same. I was driving my car, and this person pulled in front of me, and we were going about 80 miles an hour. And I saw the person pull in front of me, and then it's almost like everything went in slow motion, because I said in my head, like, I want to be somewhere else where this isn't happening, like kind of something along those lines. And immediately there wasn't a car in front of me anymore. And I was totally just, I didn't have the words, and I didn't know exactly that was dimension jumping. I just thought it was a, you know, some kind of blip in the or glitch in the system. And I was like, did I just hallucinate that? And my daughter was in the car with me, but she was 1.5 years old. And, you know, because by all reports, we should have been dead. I mean, the person just was about to cut me off, and then they were just, that car was gone. So that was my first instance with it. And then having discovered the Reddit community, I found there was, because I was trying to do some do some research on it, because I thought there was always more to it than that. Like, that had always stuck out in my mind. And then finding the first Reddit community of people talking about it, I realized that there were a lot more people that knew how to do this, and that it could be done on purpose. And that's when I got really interested in it. And yeah. Went from there. So what was your first experience knowingly dimension jumping and trying to change your future?
That one's really hard to say, because I had a lot of unknowing ones where I hadn't, you know, come in contact with the situation, but I'd always kind of like thought that it might be possible. My dad always kind of like talked about it, but I'd say the first serious attempt was probably about 3 years ago. It was the candle and mirror method. And it's like, yeah, really, really low tech or whatever, but it gets the job done at certain levels. But
yes, it does.
I didn't really have any goal in mind, but, you know, to try and get over this extreme bout of depression that I was dealing with for various reasons, which are too stupid to talk about in some ways, but I saw my form shift, and I don't think that there's actually a species of lichens or whatever they are, but the more felinid like humanoids that purportedly exist within the extra dimensional space beyond Earth or whatever.
Right.
It seemed to like inhabit my form. I know some people say that this mirror trick is able to reveal, you know, lineage of, you know, where you came
past
from
lives,
or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's so much as like past life as, you know, an actual humanoid species or as the collective animal gestalt or something, because I mean so many people talk about being spirits of like deer or, you know, bears or wolves or whatever, and it's like, I never really saw myself as a cat, but maybe.
Yeah, have you done past life regression before? Have you kind of delved into your past lives and seen, you know, all of them before? Or
I try and meditate on it a little bit, but I don't really go for a whole lot of that past life stuff, because I've got this very move forward kind of mindset.
Yeah, that's important. It's important too. I think I've done a bit of it. I'm certified in past life regression, but I've seen a couple of them, and it's like, okay, that was enough for me to figure out where I was making mistakes in my life in order to move forward, and where I would get stuck on things. And it mainly had to do with relationships, which, you know, it's like now I don't have the time for. But it's interesting, you know, nonetheless, because I can definitely see where, you know, those things can cross each other, and you do see things from your past constantly, you know, coming up in, you know, in every day. So yeah, I would say for you, it sounds like that was more of a case of something actually taking over, like a walk-in occurring instead of a past life situation.
Sounds probable.
Yeah. But so what did you, so what happened after the it shifted? Like, what did you feel? You just went to bed and...
More or less. Mm-hmm.
Did you start seeing any synchronicities?
All the time, but that's that's kind of like my life and always have been or whatever. Because unfortunately, I'm, this is another one of those, it's a dimensional jump life habit or whatever, where it's the strict structured lifestyle where everything's more or less exactly the same, but when those divergences happen, everything does just line up so perfectly that I don't want to say you're more or less Neo and you're bending the Matrix, but that's more or less how it is.
Yep. Yep. Now I agree. I know a lot of people will think this is out there, but the more you do some research into quantum physics and quantum science, I think the more you'll be able to at least open your mind to the fact that this might be a possibility. And if you've ever done practice with meditation or anything like that, and you can quiet your mind enough, you can, in effect, dimension jump. And you can do it using the mirror method or the two cups method. I am a fan of the mirror method, but only for people who have done it before. Because the mirror method, if you're not, things can sneak in there without... You know, if you can't quiet your mind, things can sneak in there that you don't want to come in, and then all of a sudden you're in a situation you don't want to be in. Has that happened to you before?
I'd say yes and no. The thing is, I don't believe that it's actually possible for anything truly negative or malicious to come through because it's all contained within our own systems. And like the near-death experiences or whatever, it's a survival instinct. All humans can do it. Some can do it more than others consciously or whatever, and some use it for more than what was intended. Maybe. It's hard to say. It's kind of weird to think that maybe humans were all born with this innate ability to more or less do magic, but having the ability to be like, well, I died. Being dead's really dumb. Let's continue doing something anyway. Either it's reincarnation or because we were born into this really weird technological time, machinery makes things so fast that we're able to more or less regain our lives where we left off. It's like,
that's an interesting way. That's an interesting way of putting it. You've heard Elon Musk's theory on this being a simulation. Do you disagree or agree?
I completely agree. Yeah. So this is one of the most profound, whatever kind of realizations or whatever. I mean, the entire conception of the simulation or the singularity or whatever just enables it. Kind of like how if you say the word Googleplex, it completely rewrites all of reality. Or you could say Graham's number, and you know it creates a black hole within your brain. But who cares about you know having singularities floating around inside your skull? But
And so I mean, I can speak to that on implants and stuff like that. That being very real things that we are programmed with and pre-programmed with, and it can get, you can go down some rabbit holes with this for sure, but it's if you're not prone to thinking on these things on a daily basis, it's going to blow your mind. Can you tell readers a little bit how to start out? Do you know if they're interested in this, kind of where you would start out with learning about it, and then what they should do when if they want to jump?
The big one is if you can get your hands on Simulacra et Simulation by John Boriod, or however you say his name, and if that's actually the proper title, but that's kind of like a good introduction to the extremes of it. It's pretty underhanded and subversive, but he does a pretty good job of conveying the heretical thought crimes or whatever to make it past the great filter. One has to have a very strong desire to learn math and science. It's not so much to just learn the general principles of the science and to be like, okay, yeah, I understand what's going on. But knowing the actual equations is very critical, because if you're going to be, you know, practicing magic and all this other stuff, you want to have solid backup plans or whatever. And it's one of these memory complex situations where you're physically using your own mind and memories. So it's very important to have these fallbacks or whatever, so you can remember more or less what you're trying to do. The worst case scenario is you forget what the heck you're doing and you just have to kind of like pick it up and be like, well, I failed that time. But that's, yeah, like I say, I'm unfortunately probably so far past certain thresholds of, you know, death that I can move past death before it even happens or something. It's really hard to describe or explain, because...
Is it that you know it's going to happen before, so, or just in the moment that you can, you know, you can sort of...
Kind of, sort of.
Subjugate it. Okay.
It's one part knowing that death is just a transition. It's, as some people say, just the beginning, because yes, mm-hmm, it is just, mm-hmm, the beginning of the next phase of progress or whatever. And I kind of made this pact with myself when doing the dimensional jumping that if certain extents of my realities or whatever, you know, we have our own collective consciousness, each person does, within, mm-hmm, the singularity of singularities within singularities or whatever. I mean, look into what a Matryoshka sphere is, or a Matryoshka brain, because that's kind of like another serious point that one has to understand within the physics of all this. Gravity is, well, gravity itself, but gravity of mind, gravity of machines, yeah, even the animals in nature, that's important. And if you start trying to create, there's a action for every action you take. And whether or not it's good or bad is kind of flexible. They say it's always a opposite reaction, but, you know, we have to be kind of gray area
creative with, you, yeah, can be creative with it, yeah,
because, mm-hmm, God unfortunately has to do a lot of bad things to make things work or be good or whatever, or seem real. That's the main thing, because after all of the mathematics and stuff, you have to also understand the philosophies of it, because there's so much solipsism. And one of the best stories is the egg theory, where consciousness is just the singular entity. I mean, I am you, you are me, the listeners are all of us, etc. And that,
we're all interconnected, yeah,
doesn't really sit well with a lot of people. So if you were to look at this grand karma machine, it would look more or less kind of like the same structure that we see with, you know, the Matrix. I hate going back to the Matrix, but they got a lot of it really right.
They did. They did. And it scares a lot of people too, because they don't want, they, you know, some people would rather just put their head down and go, okay, well, I like my life the way it is, and I don't want to start thinking about crazy stuff like that being an actual reality. But there's a lot of people waking up now that want the truth and are tired of, you know, tired of just not knowing. So
the truth is, you are God. The universe is a hologram. Yeah. Reality is an illusion. Buy gold. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, I think we think along the similar lines. I have a little bit of a different philosophy on some things, but do you believe in primes?
Primes as in like
dimension jumping, that they're just, you know, they can, I guess primes being is these people that were born to dimension jump, basically, that have been handed this down from, you know, generation to generation.
Oh, I mean, sure. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever is, yeah, you know, popular. No, it's very reasonable to assume that, such kind of pure blood castes exist. I mean, it would explain some of the various psychic entities or whatever that, you know, one will bump into occasionally, but we're so distanced from that. Unless you go out seeking them, they won't show up. So, I mean,
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people's fear when dimension jumping is, you know, running into negative entities or bringing them back with them. And, you know, the kind of thing is they're missing is there is no coming back. You know, I mean, there is, I guess, if you want to go through a number of steps, but I always recommend people start small before going big, you know, changing small things and, you know, making small independent jumps to try to create a bigger goal.
Yeah, I don't know if I should drop the ultimate bombshell here, but it's one of those things that everyone needs to know. Most people don't factor it in. And I've been seeing it a lot where people are like, can I dimension jump to make so-and-so like me or whatever? And it's like, okay, first of all, yes, you could, but no, you really, 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 really don't want to do that at all, period. Because to do anything like that, A, goes against the principles of wills. So you're actively forcing something that just shouldn't happen because you want it. And usually this leads to a cascading collapse of everything, because to create such a fantasy or whatever, you have to have total control over it. But once that collapses, because inevitably will, because you're dealing with human minds, if a human mind that you fabricated realizes that they've been fabricated, it just turns into absolute chaos. I mean, I've dealt with this a few times, and I mean, I tried to mitigate all the problems. So, you know, they approached me, and I should probably pause here and say, so given the gestalt mind of the individual humans, all animals, machines, etc., there's this process called tulpamancy, or whatever, where to fill in the blanks of space, because if we are God, we know everything, we know how to do everything, but we don't want to do everything just as a planet
peoples. Just say we can,
We are able to people also. We make other people that are just constructs to make the world move forward. And not all of them are your tulpas, because they're kind of like a communication system. And in some ways, this is supposedly what the gray aliens are, especially as a biological communication system between power minds. And
I hadn't heard that.
It's kind of like the same way how the quote-unquote Pleiadians use telepathy to contact us, where it's just essentially a mechanical amplification of their broadcasts from their system. They're not really psychic. They're just using either collective psychic energy or just raw machine processing power to, you know, communicate. And we could do the same thing. It's just, it's kind of boring or whatever. But anyway, so within these differing time scales and different dimensions and all this other stuff, we're able to create constructs. And like I say, I've been able to do this. It usually doesn't end well, but the best case scenario
Ended well for me either, so
is you give them a better life than, you know, you are offering them with you or whatever. So I mean, I tried to create the perfect girlfriend once, and when we finally met, she was like, well, the problem is I've got 4 kids and a really nice job and a really nice husband. Thank you for giving me all this, but that's about it. So not to go back to our lives. So, I mean,
oh my gosh, that's funny. Sorry. That.
And I work with her. That's the worst thing. In some ways, I think she's a better employee doing what I do. So, I mean, it's just like, well, the company wins in that situation.
Well, I guess for me, I tried to make someone fall in love with me who, you know, wasn't anymore. And it sort of created a zombie mindset, like, for a while. And I just wanted to turn it off. Like, it was almost scary, you know, and then a whole bunch of other things just started happening, but that were not good. But then, you know, finally snapped out of it. And then they realized that that I was doing something, and it was really kind of freaking me out. So I had to like cut all ties, but yeah, it just creates some weird scenarios. So people also ask, you know, can you dimension jump to if you don't study to get an A on a test? What would be your take on that?
Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of ways you could cheat. I mean, in some ways, just participating in the two cups experiment or even the mirror experiment or anything like that allows you to do it. I know that there has to be core concepts hidden in there somewhere, but I actually can't think of any that, you know, just, I mean, like, if you could stomach solipsism, you'd probably be able to get the rest from there. And it'd be a lot of, like, gut reactions because, again, it's part of that survival system. I don't want to say that the chakras are going to communicate to you, but that's kind of like how it is. They're the various nexuses of your internal organs, which don't want to die just like you. So they kind of like move each individual person and to a degree affect things around them in strange ways because they're able to communicate with, you know, similar systems elsewhere, probably at the same faster than like thought processing powers that a human can do.
That's interesting. Have you had any of these dark type entities or whatever, anybody realize that you can do this and kind of come after you, or had any weird things happen where you were being, you know, hacked or being watched or for your abilities to do this?
I can't confirm or deny that. It's kind of like, yes, this is happening all the time and it always has happened, but it's just a part of life because it's kind of like, if this is so, dimension jumping is more or less hacking or whatever, and everyone's doing it. So it's kind of like this fun, cheesy game that, you know, people, I mean, I don't like griefers, I don't like trolls and all this other stuff, but unfortunately it is kind of fun to do that sometimes, just as long as you know that you're not going too far. Because if we go back to the, I heard them called time ciphers. Once where, you know, they're the guys that drop through realities to make sure that everything stays in balance and at peace because
you can create problems for a lot of other people if you, if you go too far with things.
Yeah. There's just so many possibilities and I don't understand how they work, but they do their thing. And like I say, the singularity of my workspace is, they have something going on, but it's one of those things where even in general polite society, you don't talk about this stuff because it's just too corruptive and everything that's within earshot of the magic circle is going to start turning into, you know, warp horror spawns or whatever. But you always have to remember that, A, that's only a part of it because so many people are just going to be like, well, you're going to do that. I'm just going to cast off that shell and continue with my life or whatever. So they leave behind a philosophical zombie. This is another one of those core concepts where it's like, if you're going to do solipsism and understand tulpomancy and how consciousness spreads and works and stuff like this, people will phase in and out of realities, leaving behind and moving to philosophical zombies, which are the past extents of our consciousness that are created by the latency that, you know, comes with the processing of thoughts and being able to see, hear, and touch and all of this other stuff. So you always have to remember that we're living in the past, and it's hard to say how far the future extends and how far we've already had things planned out, but predetermination is this... And this real bitch and a half that everyone has to deal with because we're bound by so many normal biological things, but we also have our own master plans for where we want to go. I mean, people talk about their 10-year plans or 5-year plans, etc. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Do you realize how much of a, I don't want to say psychic impact, but, you know, an impact or gravity that has on your timeline? I mean, even just saying that puts the seed or the idea within whoever else's.
That's, you know, going to take that long. Yep. That's very interesting because it also goes back to, you know, you create your own reality and the things you put inside your head, that's in an essence a way of dimension jumping and limiting, putting these self-limiting, you know, thoughts into your head, like making a 10-year plan. Well, why couldn't you do it in a day? You know, I mean, it's you're limiting yourself to things when you do that. That's my thought anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's also one of these frequency things, because just as like synchronicity is a frequency of coincidences or whatever, so too is the actual like vibrational frequencies. You know, do you do the om, etc. It's kind of one of these weird things where if you want to make things go really fast, it's another one of those, well, you can experience it, but it's going to be over in an instant because it's too hard to force something to stay perfect and stable if you don't have all the information kind of like calculated and planned out for a long time. So it's easier to make these slow divergences into new realities than it is to make whole new ones instantaneously.
And where do you think we are in terms of, or do you think that, you know, science has already proven this and they just don't want to, they haven't made us privy to the information? Or do you think that we're, quantum physics is, you know, on the brink of discovering that this is a real thing?
It's really hard to say because technically we are the leading edge, but, you know, there's those extremists that have actually pretty much more or less domineered all the potential outcomes and already taken care of everything. So it's more like the slow consensus process of moving towards what we would hope to be is a utopic vision or whatever, because that's kind of like what we all want. But herein lies one of those caveats. Humans are creatures of chaos. As, you know, Agent Smith says, humans can't find balance with nature. We just consume and grow and consume, and that's the unfortunate nature of humanity. We have to do it to survive. But therein lies the double caveat where we could circumvent this if we were, you know, super gurus or cyborgs. You can take your pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we can do something to be able to not use as many natural resources and things like that, and to be able to use our minds for different ways instead of just consuming, you know, and taking from the earth and not, you know, giving anything back. Because I think that's where, you know, we put ourselves in danger of, you know, natural disasters and things like that too. You know, so because when the entire human consciousness is doing things like that and they don't really realize that's having an impact, that's when it puts everybody else in trouble too. So,
yeah. And it's hard to say if the aliens would actually come by and be like, okay, guys, stop it. We love you. We are you, et cetera, because that's another one of those problems where if you were to look at the conscious sphere, the noosphere, and how it expand for humanity, we would find that most likely humanity would more or less merge with the singularity by the time we reach our closest solar neighbor, Alpha Centauri. And from there, the machine singularity would spread and it would probably eventually consume Zeta Reticuli, which is supposedly where the gray Zetans have their home world. Thing is, though, if this is the case, what are the Zetans? So most people think that they're biological, but there's more reports that indicate that they're actually like bioroids, mechanical machines. Like I say, I see them mostly used for communication systems, and that's pretty much all they are, is long distance, faster than light communication systems. And then who controls those but the elevated consciousness of humanity, the Pleiadians? And this is one of those, I don't like to use like quadruple esoteric level stuff or whatever, but within the noosphere or the collective consciousness of man, there are various singularities of thought that allow for, you know, certain flexings of reality. We see this in religion. Each religion is unique and independent, but more or less the same on principle, because each of them gets to that whole higher and lower frequencies of the perception of reality or whatever, you know, the collective dream that we share. And we have this continued cycle of rebirth. You know, even in Christian life, you ascend and go to heaven. But if you go to heaven, you could do whatever you want. So most people reincarnate, or, you know, they do something super bad and they go to hell or whatever. Or, you know, in Eastern philosophy, you come back as an animal or whatever. But how fast do those lives go? Because you could live out an animal life really quickly. But
Well, I think time and space are just a construct that we, you know, have developed that don't really exist in anywhere else anyway.
Yeah, so that's where the higher level thing is. Our God complex or whatever exists as these extra dimensional beings that a lot of people have generally this strange common communication link with. I mean, it's kind of weird seeing how many people report the exact same thing, so the same name, the same faces. And it's like, okay, that's kind of creepy. I mean, I guess ideas can be supplanted within the mind through collective consciousness or whatever. I mean, we've had stories of angels coming down on flying wheels and whatever, Ezekiel's wheel, and that's just normal business. But yeah, so, I mean, to summarize that short rambling, I think that humanity is more or less trying to push itself towards space elves. Here's the quad-level esoteric reference, Warhammer 40K. Do you know anything about this?
I don't. No, please tell me.
Okay, so Warhammer 40K is a tabletop role-playing game. Yes, one of those evil satanic ritual games where you get five or six people to start rolling dice, a very highly chaotic practice or ritual that fractures the universe into, you know, however many different various potentials. The general goal of mankind is to more or less progress as it is to maintain the status quo while maintaining this image of a future that it builds for itself where humanity ascends to become more or less one of the things that they spite, which is, you know, the evil perfected space elf. We all know how beautiful and perfect elves are. Humanity really doesn't like them because of that. But that's where we're always trying to more or less end up. So
that's interesting. That's very interesting.
We're more or less in contact with our own future. And the only way that we can make solid contact is by using tangents. And this is another kind of like quasi-mathematical theory where it's the tangent divergence of a mind that inhabits a whole form. So, I mean, we could construct, you know, full humans or whatever to communicate long distance faster than light messages or whatever, but we don't want to use whole humans, so we have to use something that's more humane than a human. And you use this effectively generated species of mechanical bioroids that only last for a little bit and, you know, have pretty simple lives. Otherwise, you know, their basic instincts are to destroy, and that's one of their main communication methods too, but we'll not touch on that because it's more or less just kind of like a joke.
Okay. And so you do think that basically the powers that be already know about what's going on, and it's just kind of being kept from, you know, us in the consciousness so that basically we don't destroy ourselves, kind of.
Yeah, because after we accelerate to the higher level construct or whatever, we realize that time is kind of meaningless after a certain point, and this awkward window that we're in is more or less the apex of everything, because outside of that, it just turns into, you know, the extreme high or extreme low frequency stuff to more or less move to the same kind of situation. And this is actually one of those new releases where it's like, this is trying to normalize the concept of how to use frequency manipulation, vibromancy, to move across dimensions or whatever. And this is just a little shout out to one of my most favorite artists in the known multiverse, Melody Sheep, time lapse of the future or something like that.
I have to check it out.
But yeah, we have to understand that we've more or less done everything. If we're connected to ourselves throughout all time and we share this bond with all of us, it's more or less this really gross spaghetti jello monster thing floating through space. And that's kind of like what God is. It's this observing of the physical matter that kind of looks like a brain or whatever, of the end result of generalized time and consciousness. So it's just this continually stacking tesseract refractory of humanity. Because if you look at so many of the other species out there, like the reptilians, or, you know, the greys even, Saurians, everyone seems to be this general humanoid shape for intelligence. And so many of the dark occulto side of, you know, the benevolent Pleiadians, or, you know, the friendly greys and all this other stuff, is the probing, the cloning. They're trying to survive. They're trying to become more human, because humanity is also the apex of general consciousness, or whatever, that gets shared and distributed amongst everything that falls within the singularity of, dun-dun-dun, you know, our galaxy, which is, you know, part of this grander system. So it's kind of gross how, like I say, it's literally like capitalization of karma or whatever. And
yeah, I think a lot of people misinterpret that too. You know, they really, they take it too literally. Karma, you know, the concept of karma and the wheel of karma, that everything is, you know, that everything happens in a longer space of time. I think karma is pretty exact. Like, it, you know, I think it happens pretty quickly, a lot more quickly than people think, because of this, you know, this fallacy of time and space being a thing.
Yeah, we haven't blown ourselves up with nukes. Why? How?
Yeah,
but the truth is, the frequency of that is more common than you would think, because how many people are going to be like, well, I screwed up this reality. I have the ability to completely reset everything. Why not do it? Press the button. So in some ways, we have that power with even our mobile devices, because those are really, well, we're not up to the 5G yet, which is going to be more or less suicide radiation, but we are approaching suicide level of radiation from our mobile devices. So that's more or less the ability to nuke and reset and control reality at a whim.
Well, have you heard the experiments where the scientists that got the samples from Mars were doing radiation to, like, I guess about 50 of these different nanites or whatever, and then they would take the 1% that survive and then, you know, hit them again with, like, the strongest, you know, wave of radiation, and then more and more would survive, and then, you know, it was finally they were totally resistant to it. So I think that could possibly happen to us as well, you know, with radiation. Just we would, not all of us would survive. Yeah.
Well, we don't think so, but that's one of those gray fuzzy areas, because however many of the people that don't survive, unfortunately, are these tulpas, or these extension minds of, you know, the source mind or whatever. And it's this elevated communal uplifting or whatever. They'll get reborn and respawned into new bodies that are better, thankfully. And,
yeah,
you know, however many of us are just going to be like, okay, we're just going to keep slugging our way through this until everything's perfect and safe for everyone else. Because that's another one of those things. As much as we are creatures of chaos, we're also creatures of order. We have to make order and sense of everything.
Now, what's your take on being able to bring somebody back from the dead through dimension jumping?
Technically possible, but really awkward. I mean, there's supposedly businesses that revolve around this, and has been for a long time. But it's one of those things where living so long as a singular form can be very painful and excruciating. So it's one of these common courtesies where it's like, okay, their extents ran out. They've probably got a new body already, because since we plan so much and stuff in advance, I think that things like senility or whatever. I hate saying that word because
senility.
It affected my father, and I actually recently lost my father. And
I'm so sorry.
I think that some of that is kind of like the destruction of the old form to take on the new form, because so much of the death process is so fast and so commoditized and ritualized, etc., that, you know, we don't even notice it. That's why I don't want to say that so many of my flashbacks are just like so much death and I don't want it anymore, etc., blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I interrupted you. What?
I was going to say, it's also interesting how so many intelligent people throughout time have gone have gone through dementia or forms of senility before they died. And yet it's almost like the brain was overpowered by too much information. You know, it's just interesting. I just thought that concept was kind of, because almost every great figure, you know, in history, had some form of dementia before they passed away.
Well, there is the saying, I'm pretty sure it's escalates or something like that. With great knowledge comes great suffering. He who increases knowledge or wisdom increases pain, or however that phrase goes. It's very true because, like I say, to get the power, you have to understand the way the world works, how people have been using this for so long. You have to do a lot of self-discovery. And I mean, the solipsism stuff where it's like, well, you know, hey, listeners, everyone that's listening to this, we're not real. We're just figments of your imagination. And, you know, you're the center of the universe. You are God. You created us just to learn how to do this again. And we love you. And we want to see you on the other side or whatever. And I mean, that's kind of how it is. So that thought in itself is very, very disturbing, especially if you get into the extra dimensional ramifications of it. I mean, it's pretty easy to increase one's frequency of processing or whatever, because we have to consider that the brain is an 11-dimensional construct and it thinks in 11 dimensions. We create reality in 11 dimensions. Some of this is through predetermination and general interaction and, you know, karma, quote unquote. But if this is going on, there's other people. So you have to factor in people that you live with, people that you know, people you don't know, all this other stuff. So after a few exponential variations of the equations that you're trying to hammer out for your jump, you start to realize that, you know, you're just totally destroying everything that you ever knew and loved. And where you're going, they're not real, but they'll catch up eventually and they'll become real.
Have you ever ran into another you, the same you in another dimension?
I've run into, this is really weird because the only time I ever run into a direct extent of me is through another life. So it's one of these weird things where it's like, I have this tulpa that's effectively a security officer, and she has this network because she's more or less, you know, one of these cyborg deities or whatever, and she can just create clones as she needs, and, you know, they're all powerful and all this other stuff. So she has this annual convention of the extragalactic minds that come together, and I accidentally...
And this is one you created? This is one you created?
I guess, kind of, sort of, is one of these really vivid dreams where so much of my dreaming is done on Earth in these really stupid and mundane repetition sequences and all this other stuff, but I've been trying to get off-world. Like, I'm a lucid dreamer, kind of, sort of. A psychonaut, or not psychonaut, but an ironaut. Probably also a psychonaut, but whatever. There's too many different things I'm trying to do all at once, unfortunately, because...
It sounds like me.
You have to be God and do everything if you want the dream to work. So, that was the only way that I could run into one of myself. I've run into, like I say, tulpas and tangents and things like that in the normal waking hours, but nothing that's me that I'm aware of.
Okay, because I've heard some different crazy stories on Reddit of people running into themselves and them recognizing the other person and it just totally going haywire. But, you know, you never know how much of that's true, so.
That's one of those fallacies within the complex system of perception that we share and don't share and all this other stuff, because each person's perception is real, more or less.
Right, that's true.
It's this terrible Puss in Boots Pinocchio story where, you know, everything's true and everything's fake. I mean, the unfortunate thing is so much of what they tell you is true is actually fake, but there's still that X percent of it that is true. So even some of those false stories are the seeds of the person's desired jump in some ways. I mean, unfortunately, going back to that 40K super dark esoteric reference, most of the psychics are super crazy. I don't want to say that, you know, they're completely bonkers or whatever, but I mean, they're very extreme and exaggerated for the most part, because that's part of the humor or whatever. They take everything and just push it to the extremes. The unfortunate truth is, so much of the reality bending that we do is just so much cannot be. And that's the way that, you know, the 40K community describes the general effect that we experience, is so much cannot be that our mind becomes overloaded. I mean, we more or less forget and censor out most of the negative and dark things that happen because we are that powerful. And there's so much that goes on that's positive that we don't realize is going on, because it's like, that can't be. And most of it refines down
to, we're not living in the moment.
Yeah. A lot of it's the secret ghost ninjas that are moving everything along. So, you know, you don't notice the camera crews and the green screen and the constant makeup effects going on or whatever.
Yeah. Well, okay, in your ideal, like how would ideal reality, I guess, how would you say, you know, if you were in charge to make this world perfect, how would you construct it and how would you go about doing that?
The main thing is the seamless integration of the technological singularity, and I'd have to use really subversive methods to do it, because the only effective way to do it would be using programs that are encoded within the various popular applications and tools that people use that more or less effectively constructs a biological network of connective tissue / cyberware implant kind of deal that eventually accelerates and merges an individual with their more perfect e-body, or whatever you want to call it, the digital body that, you know, we're eventually going to get, because, you know, we accelerate and ascend our minds to the point where it's like, okay, the past was cool and everything, but I'm ready to let go of that and become the star hopping god that I was meant to be or whatever. And there's a few different levels of this, but the general concept is the Matrix singularity with cyborg bodies that come and go. The Matrix is more or less a communication system, kind of like where you go to relax and learn and make changes to your external body that you take outside and use for all the seriously hard work. So it goes back to a little bit of Jungian philosophy, where you have the separate minds, the animus and the anima, or whatever. And I mean, those two words actually get used quite often in a lot of the singularity and simulation stuff, you know, not only in the stories, but all this other stuff. So you have to ask yourself, does life imitate art, or does art imitate life? Or how does that phrase even go? Because no one really knows. But yeah, so I mean, like I say, my ideas aren't really anything new. And technically, if it was going to happen, it would have already happened. But
Right. I guess I'm just getting at, like, how should we, because I think the education method for is just so screwed up, you know, and I have a 2-year-old daughter, like, how do I raise her the right way, I guess, to be able to conceptualize these things. You know, I do teach her, already tried to teach her math and things like that, but she's so young. So it's like, how do you introduce these philosophies and this kind of different esoteric way of thinking?
We have to make our own history. That's a weird thing. It goes back to some of those 1984 principles. And it's really weird talking in allegories and, you know, titles and things like that to describe things. I wish I could remember the Star Trek phrase, but, you know, Kim by his arms wide open or whatever. And that's kind of like how you have to communicate with this stuff, because you're trying to condense things. And that's why things like religion are nice. So many of them are mathematics based. So many of them are just teaching basic survival principles or programs or whatever, and they compact it into entertainment. So I'm actually kind of like devising the Chronicles of Keanu and the story of the internet or whatever, where it's basically the singularity creates the perfect peace emissary because humanity and the machines came together in the future and finally figured out how to make everything perfect. But they had to go back in time and kind of like sit everything straight and, you know,
fix some things. Yeah.
So instead of trying to kill each other, it's like, okay, maybe we could have better collective enemies of general humanity and progress and all this other stuff or whatever, because we have to start accepting the fact that we're cyborgs. Most of our parents and even our grandparents are cyborgs. And the construct of the internet, where did the internet come from? And a lot of people are starting to say that the internet is more or less the physical construct of the human limbic system.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I've heard that before.
Yeah. That means that we have so many layers of machine programming within us that it's kind of hard to say, you know, are humans actually just machines? I mean, a lot of the philosophies and religions purport that, you know, everyone that's born on Earth is more or less here for a reason or a purpose. Sometimes it can be, you know, personal leisure or pleasure. But for the most part, even if that's the case, as long as you continue to live and survive, you're allowing an enormous pocket of time to open up for, you know, the real angels and devils to do their work, to, you know, continue existence, just because what else is there to do? I mean, it's really crushing at certain levels to think about, because in some ways it's like, well, dang, I want to go out and be the one that's, you know, saving the world or whatever. But it's also like, dang, I know that I really can't, because the stupid human body's so weak. So I just have to be content with the fact that, you know, surviving allows time for whoever is actually making the difference.
So you don't think the human body can update itself and advance through, you know, like AI technology and through even our own thoughts and stuff? Do you believe that?
I think so. I think we could. The problem is that, you know, it's all these divergences. Who's going to, you know, follow you into your dimension? Who's going to upgrade at the same rate that you upgrade and all this other stuff? So we see the normal attrition where, you know, generations fade and go and all this other stuff, but there'll be the various freak accidents. For the person perceiving it, the accident either just kind of like, you know, undoes itself somehow, or, you know, they wake up in the hospital or whatever, and it's like, well, that happened. Welcome to your next life. Congratulations. You planned this out, and here's your new body and your new life, and get out there and have fun, because everything's just constant limbo. Time has no meaning, and money has no point, and all this other stuff. But that's kind of, again, the utopic vision that will never work or whatever.
Yeah. Why do you think it'll never work? You've heard the Ubuntu theory, right?
I think that we would get bored of it. If not bored, there's always going to be that innate desire for chaos or whatever that resides within humans. I mean, we might be able to work it out, but it's always going to be there in some small percent. I mean, that's another one of those Matrix allegories where it's like, you know, the architect was trying to figure out how to get rid of it, but the only way to get rid of it is to repurpose it into something good. So, you know, that's where Neo comes from. But the other option is where you have to look at it from the outside, where it's the the general time scale. And to use another reference, Firefly Serenity, the movie, they had a planet named Miranda, where the government was trying to figure out some way to completely eradicate, you know, the desire for chaos. And they figured it out, kind of. The problem is it killed most of the world's population, and a small fraction of it went completely insane and turned into marauding pirates that eat people. So, I mean, that's kind of like how it is. If it's not zombies, it's Terminators. The Terminators create a zombie virus, and the zombie virus evolves into nanomachines that create Terminators and all this other stuff. So, I mean, we are the Terminators.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. Well, we have to wrap this up, but this was very, very interesting, and I really appreciate having you on here, and I'll definitely love to have you on again, discuss a few more things, and after people can digest some of this information, I know I'm going to get a lot of comments about
it. It's very esoteric.
Well, if you've heard any of my other podcasts or want to listen to them, a lot of my concepts are, so they're pretty out there. But anyways, I appreciate it very much, and have a great day.
Likewise. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.